Well, hello there. This is Chris Brown. Before we get started, if you're thinking about selling or buying a home soon, I suggest you get help from a trusted real estate agent through our endorsed local providers, also known as our ELPs. They have the heart of a teacher to help you through every step. Go to stewardship.com and click on Find an ELP to connect with someone in your area.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, greetings to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions right here in Nashville, Tennessee. We are so thrilled that you're listening in today. We have a great show planned for you and extremely excited to have Rachel Cruz back with us today. Rachel, thank you so much for being in the studio.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me back on.
Yeah, Rachel is not only a speaker here at Ramsey Solutions, but is also the best-selling author of Smart Money, Smart Kids, which if you are a parent or you're a grandparent and you haven't read that yet, you must be sure to grab a copy at stewardship.com. Rachel, word is out on the street that you may be working on another book. Is that true?
Word on the street. Yes, I am in the thick of it now. Just finished a few edits of the manuscript. So it comes out in October. And yeah, really, really excited about it.
Now, the Chris Brown's True Stewardship community is kind of looking for some inside information. Do you have anything that you can't tell anyone else?
I don't know if I can tell the title yet. I haven't been given the green light. I so wish I want to so bad. But basically, the book is around 7 money habits for living the life you want. Because so much as I travel and talk to people, people have different values. They have things that they want to do, whether it's everything from shopping and buying all organic groceries to taking a trip once a year with their family. So it's how can you live this life that you really want to live and feel called to live? But how do you do it wisely with your money? So it's based around 7 money habits. And if you implement these habits, the great thing about habits are once they're implemented in your life, you don't really think much about them. It's just part of who you are. So really instilling that is my goal with the book.
One of the things I've noticed is a challenge when you got such a wide audience is trying to speak to that person who's feeling some tensions in, let's say, LA, and then someone who's listening in Idaho. And there's just different tensions, different places. And I'm
totally
sure it's very difficult as you're writing the book.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the lifestyle, the cost of living, I mean, all of it, plays a factor for sure in people's goals and really what they want to do, depending on where they live. So yeah, there's definitely a different, audience no matter where you live, what city you're in. But the great thing is God's ways of handling money work every time, no matter if you are in LA or Idaho or Iowa. What's up, Des Moines? Right?
Oh,
we
love it.
Iowa. That's right. That's right.
Oh, speaking of cities, Rachel and I will be in several cities this spring speaking. One is a Smart Conference in LA. They're at the Shrine Auditorium. Also, we're going to be at the Smart Conference in Orlando. And also, you and I will be doing a Smart Money event in Tucson there at Casas Church on May 4th.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, lots of events coming up here in the spring. You guys can find out more information. We have a brand new banner right there on the front page of stewardship.com that lists all of our events. Make sure that you check that out.
And the Smart Money event in Tucson is us.
Yeah, just you and I.
Yeah, we're going to be sharing the stage. So Tucson, come see us.
That's
It'll be fun, a fun night.
We are going to be bringing the thunder that night, I tell you what.
That's right.
Well, today Rachel is going to be taking your questions, and I'm just going to sit back and take a break. It's going to be all her.
Oh, gosh. I need your wisdom, Chris. No.
Oh, folks, remember, this is your show. Feel free to call in, to email in, or tweet in. The phone number is 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. The email address is chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Again, chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And for those of you that are all over social media, you can tweet in at chrisbrownonair or to Rachel at Rachel Cruz. That's C-R-U-Z-E. And while you're calling in, I need to tell you, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home soon, I encourage you to work with someone who has been successful in real estate, someone you can trust, and with the heart of a teacher. our endorsed local providers, our ELPs are ready to walk you through the process, the beginning all the way to the end. So go to stewardship.com and click on Find an ELP. Our first call looks like it's all lined up. Calling in from Austin, Texas, this is Kurt. Hey, Kurt, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are y'all?
Oh, better every day. How can we serve you?
Well, I am on baby step 6 and currently find myself in a position to complete baby step 6. So we're really excited about it. And then all of a sudden, something was thrown in there. I now want to go back to graduate school here in Austin. And it just so happens that both the graduate program and my mortgage are exactly the same amount. So the question is, which one do I do? Do I do first? Do I pay off my mortgage, you go to grad school after and put it on hold, or vice versa?
That's a tough one. Which way are you leaning, Kurt?
Well, I know that if my house is paid for, would I borrow against it to go to graduate school? And the answer will be no 100% of the time. So I've got that side, but emotionally, I really want to complete it. My company offers a reimbursement program, though it doesn't cover but maybe one semester. And then to sprinkle a little bit more on there, both my boss as well as his boss, which is essentially my boss, also both went through the same program. So I don't doubt that it won't pay for itself from a investment standpoint, but having my home paid for and not having a graduate degree sounds good too.
Rachel, what do you think?
Well, I was going to ask, is it your willingness or your, is it you wanting to go back to graduate school, or is it because of a little bit of pressure from other people and from the outside?
It's definitely a little bit of pressure from the outside. My company is starting to gravitate towards MBAs. I'm 35, so I'd like to complete it sooner rather than later. But I also, I think it will be a transformational program, especially since I've been, in corporate America now for almost 15 years.
Sure. How much is it? How much is to go to graduate school?
It's $110,000.
How much do you make a year?
Without bonus, it's about $94,500. That's just me with bonus a little bit over $130,000.
Wow, that's great. Well, Kurt, I answer these questions. If I were in your shoes, if I woke up tomorrow in your shoes, what would I do? And I would 100% pay off the house first. Because you know this, being debt-free, from consumer debt, that when you don't have debt, you don't have risk. So much is available to you, not only the peace of mind, but the math on your side if your home is paid for. And you make a great income. And so, you could save 3 years and you could cash flow graduate school. And you don't even have to have all the cash to start graduate school. You could save each year as you attend, just making sure you go debt-free. So if I were in your shoes, I would write a check today, pay off that house, and start saving back for graduate school because you have such a great income coming in.
I figured that would be the answer. I was just kind of hoping there'd be that one time where I wasn't thinking about this or what, and it's never the case, but it's always fun to just test it. So I figured as much, and my heart was leaning towards that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kurt, the deal here is if you were to do it the other way, you got a bunch of interest that you're going to be paying, and there's no reason to do that. The financial position that you've put yourself in, there's no reason for you to pay interest. And remember, interest received is a reward, interest paid is a penalty, and you're done with penalties, man. Let's finish that. Now, Kurt, you're about to be a pretty wealthy fella. You're about to walk into a lot of wealth, and I shouldn't say walk into, you've earned it and you're going after it and God's blessed you with it. And so we want to invest in you and we want to give you a book called The Legacy Journey. And I really encourage you to read that in the next 6 to 9 months. And it'll really point you towards a very biblical view towards this wealth before you're walking in so much of it. Okay?
Fantastic. I appreciate it. I will read it.
All right. Stay on the line. Amanda's going to get your address. Next up from Salt Lake City, Utah, this is Shelley. Shelley, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. Well, I love your show. It's such a blessing to me, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm 50 years old, and my husband is 58, and we owe about $5,800 on a credit card and $7,200 on a truck payment. And the truck is worth about double what we owe. There are four of us in our family, and all of us have some sort of serious chronic medical condition. And so we have a $3,000 deductible on our medical insurance. Now, we have a health savings account that's going to take care of that, but it's going to be over time because of how that works. And so we're having a bit of a hard time meeting our out-of-pocket expenses. So what I'm wondering is we're trying to figure out how we're going to start to pay for two children going to college next fall. And should we get a loan, or what do you recommend? My husband makes about $105,000 a year, and he nets about $4,800 a month, and he's been contributing faithfully 15% of his income into his retirement since his 20s. And so we have like $670,000 retirement fund. And I'm just wondering, do we take money out of retirement to pay for that, or do we get a loan, or...
Well, Shelly, you just asked a question that's got Rachel all fired up.
No,
She's ready to pounce on you. So no. I'm just kidding.
Well, Shelly, not at all. Okay, you said how much does your husband make a year?
$105,000, and that's about $4,800 a month.
Okay. Well, I look at your debts, and you know, about $7,000 on the car, $5,000 on the credit card. Shelly, you can knock that debt out as soon as possible.
Our house is totally paid off.
Yeah, well, too. Yes. So I mean, within months, you could be able to write a check, be completely debt-free. And I would even say, if you look at the math, you're able to do it quickly just to pay it off. But if you guys feel like, okay, it's going to take a little bit longer, he needs to stop contributing to retirement, which is going to kill him. But it's only for a short period of time.
Always, he doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, I know. Well, then you guys need to cut your lifestyle to nothing. You're not going shopping. You guys aren't going out to eat. I mean, sacrifice for a few months. I mean, Shelly, you guys have a great income. You could knock out this credit card and this car loan out so quickly if you guys stay focused. So knock that out. And if you're able to save after that and after retirement for your kids' college and have some money for them, then that's great. But if not, that's okay too. Parents paying for their kids' college is a blessing. It is not an entitlement. And so for them, they are able to go to school debt-free. You do not need to take out a loan. Do not take out a loan. Do not let them take out a loan. Oh, absolutely not. No, they need to go to an in-state school or even a community college for the first
year
or two.
That's what they're doing, community. They're going to community college.
Yes, very, very inexpensive. They can have a part-time job and completely cash flow community school and then scholarships and grants on top of that as well. So
I don't think they're going to, my son's probably not going to be able to work. He has a form of autism, and he just cannot seem to get anybody to hire him. I don't think he interviews very well.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I would say for him then to go find something that he can do, something like can he mow a yard? Can he walk a dog? Can he do something that individuals can employ him, and he doesn't have to go to a retail type employer. If there's a way for him to get money in, but I would say avoid the debt, and for you guys to pay it off, and that should put you guys in a completely different scenario, I think, 12 months from now.
Really?
Yes.
12 and months is all.
Shelly, there's no wondering how Rachel feels, is there?
No. But you're saying so he should to not contribute as much to the retirement and pay off the debt.
Sure. We have what's called the baby step, Shelly, and it's a proven plan. Yeah. That people are doing all across America, and it works. So what it is baby step one is to have $1,000 emergency fund, which I'm sure you guys have that. Baby step two is to pay off all of your debt except for your house. You guys don't have a house payment. I know that, but to pay off all of your debt. So everything is focused. Everything is focused on paying off that debt. You do a budget and you squeeze out as much money as possible. And you say, okay, we're doing nothing until this debt is paid off. Once that's paid off, then you're going to have a fully funded emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of expenses.
Wow.
Put that in the bank.
I just can't see how we can do that. I don't know why, but I've looked into the baby, and I'm going to try to do the baby step things. I've been reading about that for months now. I've got a budget going, but we only have like maybe $600 of discretionary income once I budget everything out with the tuition for the fall. Do you see what I mean? I don't know. I'm just not sure how we're going to do this with that small amount of money. I don't know. Maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Hey, Shelly. So you are bringing in $105,000 a year. The average income in America is $48,600.
How do we survive?
Here's the deal. You guys need to be able to do this. You got to look at your budget.
Really?
Yes, you should be able to do this. You guys are making a very good income. And I will take this off the table as well, that you shouldn't feel this much pressure about the college costs. Your kids should feel that pressure, not you. If you help out, that's great. That's gravy on top, but it's not your responsibility to pay for their college. So take that pressure off. You've got nothing to worry about. Worry about the $7,000 loan and the $5,000 credit cards. Take care of that, then give us a call back. But that is your first step. Folks, Romans 13:8 tells us to owe no man anything, and that's why Rachel and I made sure that that was our recommendation, is to first get out of debt before you do anything else. That is very, very crucial. Of course, Proverbs 22:7 says that the borrower is enslaved to the lender. Now, talking about ELPs and talking about real estate, you've heard me talk about it before. I think that's really cool. Shelly has her house paid off. God has blessed them with a great income and blessed them with a paid off house. It's a big deal. And, that doesn't happen every day. How is that even possible? Many of our callers are making a decision to buy or to sell a house that's not paid for. And it's something that many of us don't have years of experience doing, the buying and the selling. So that's why most people get help from a real estate agent. I want to tell you where to find a top selling agent that you can trust to get the best deal on your home. Our endorsed local providers are real estate agents with the heart of a teacher. These agents are filtered for you, selling a minimum of 40 homes annually. So please don't go get your brother-in-law who just got into real estate, who doesn't know anything about real estate yet. These are folks who are trusted. They're producers. Our ELPs close 5 times more business than a typical real estate agent does in 1 year. And they put customer service before their commission. Get connected with an endorsed real estate agent in your area by going to stewardship.com and clicking on Find an ELP.
We're thankful to have you with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Once again, I'm so glad to have Rachel Cruz with us here in the studio. Thank you so much for being here, Rachel.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, next on the line, we've got a call. Again, the number's 866-357-3283. You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. And this call comes in from Missouri. This is Scott. Scott, how are you?
Hey, doing good. How you doing?
Oh, better every day. How can we help you?
Well, I got a question about a 19-year-old daughter. She's my oldest out of 8. And she is making some decisions that we're not really, me and my wife are not really agreed upon.
Okay.
With the current boyfriend. She's in her second year of college. We have about $30,000 to $40,000 saved back for her. We've been paying for her college and everything, cars and what all. But have quite a bit of money saved back for her, so whenever she, later on in life, she don't have to worry about anything and come out with her feet hitting the ground and going. So, but with this current boyfriend, and he's got real good work ethic and everything, brought up in a Christian home, but pretty much they're wanting to play married life. They're wanting to spend the weekends together and, you know, take these weekend trips and playing house, and me and my wife do not agree with that. And what should we, we're just having a hard time making our minds up what to do and what not to do. Like, we know that she's got to grow up.
Yeah.
But
Scott, I totally,
it's hard.
Yeah. I don't blame you at all. I can sense your frustration, and I can only imagine how you feel. I've got a 7-year-old daughter, and, I know that, there's probably behind the scenes some quite emotional moments with your wife regarding this. So I definitely understand how you feel. To catch all of our listeners up, I do have in the studio with us New York Times bestselling author of Smart Money, Smart Kids, Rachel Cruz. And she's got a lot of great insight for this particular age group and the things that they wrestle with and the way they think. And so, you know, love Rachel for you to just let Scott know what he can do on the emotional side and what he needs to do as far as supporting and / rewarding her. That's what giving money, you know, at this moment
looks
like. Looks like a reward.
Yeah. So Scott, so their relationship, what's bothering you is you just feel like, are they living together? Are they doing things morally that you don't agree with? Or is it that they're just spending a lot of time together? What is it exactly?
It's, we pay for her apartment at college, and she shared it with three other girls. Pretty much they've advanced this relationship enough to where they're spending weekends together and pretty much playing married life during the weekends. They're not living together all the time,
yeah,
just during the weekends.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would say, Scott, I don't have a 19-year-old daughter. I have a 9-month-old daughter. So you have much more parenting experience than I do personally. But I can tell you from experience with my parents and how they would handle this situation, you know, that this money that you have saved for her, it's still your money.
Right.
It's not her money. It is your money that you have saved for her and to bless her in her life. But when she's doing things that you guys morally do not agree with, if it's things that you think are going to bring her harm, then giving her money is just funding that lifestyle.
Right.
And if you are continuing to fund that, then you're not going to feel good about this. You know, you are called to steward the money God has given you. And if you feel like this money is given to her and it's not going to be stewarded correctly and it's going to be going to things that you just don't agree with and the lifestyle that she's living, it's okay to hold it back. You know what? It's okay to say, you know what? If you're playing house and if you think that you're this adult, well, then learn to pay rent. Learn to get a job. You know, if she wants to be that independent, then do that. But you can say, sweetie, I love you. And what you're doing with this relationship, we don't agree with because it's not what's best for you. And we're not going to fund you financially for that. And that sounds harsh, Chris. And I know a lot of people may think that. But what you have to remember is that she's 19 years old. She's 19. A lot of 19-year-olds, not her. But some are not very smart, right? I mean, there's a maturity factor here. And so I think, you know, again, some people are going to call that harsh, but I'm going to say, you know, for the parents, it's their money. They get to decide. She doesn't get to tell them what to do with their money.
Exactly. And I think it's good for parents to realize that it's the best thing that they could do for, you know, you've got this entitlement creeping in. You've got, obviously, it might be a work ethic issue, lifestyle issue. You got all these things that are, and we really want this support to be a blessing, you know.
And you're not abandoning your love for her. You still love her well. You still have that relationship, but you're not going to fund that misbehavior.
Yeah, and it's the best way to show love. Got an email here that's very similar, same age group. Chris, I have a 19-year-old. This is from Aaron. I have a 19-year-old who's struggling with finances, understanding a budget. She's a crazy hard worker. She works with her mother and I in real estate and has started her own cleaning business as well. She also volunteers many hours in church, cleaning, and ministry. The energy level is over the top, but she's having a little trouble managing this blessing of compensation for work. I'm curious as to the best resource to get for her. We follow all your podcasts, but have yet to attend Financial Peace University. I'm thinking about the home study, as our schedule makes attending a class difficult at best. I gave her a copy of the Total Money Makeover book to start, but want some good advice for the next purchase to help steer her as she enters adulthood.
Rachel, sure. So a 19-year-old who's making some great money but not budgeting it correctly. Well, that was probably me at 19, Chris. Budgeting it's a hard thing to do.
Yes.
And so I think having this balance, Chris, that she obviously has incredible work ethic. She's a go-getter. She's passionate. And what she is naturally a spender. She's not good at details. She's kind of a free spirit, which is me. That is me. A budget is the hardest thing for me financially to do. And Winston and I, we do one every month, my husband and I, because we know that's what's best. And Winston enjoys the budget. It's really weird. And I'm like, oh, okay, we'll sit down. We'll do it. But it's hard for me. And so for her, I would say I was probably just like her. And I think, Chris, she's probably going to be okay. You want to talk to her. And I think the biggest mistake people make with their money is they're just not intentional. Mm-hmm. And a budget is the best way to be intentional with your money, to be able to tell your money what to do. And so understanding this, sitting down, explaining how she's going to do it, doing a budget with her, walking her through it, is key. But that's it. You know, you can teach her at this point, but especially if she's living on her own at 19, it's going to be up to her to do it. And it's going to take some trial runs, and she may miss a few months, but I would say give her some grace. I think she's, from the email, I think she's heading in a great direction. She may just need to tighten up a few things around the budget. But hey, I'm still learning to do that too sometimes. So you know what? It's okay.
Yeah, a lot of times when we put those goals out there, it can, you know what they're headed for, and they can put some benchmarks in place. Zig Ziglar says, if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. And maybe that just needs to be more clear for her. But good email, Aaron. Well, that wraps up this episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship. It's always a treat having Rachel Cruz with us. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you for having me on, Chris. I appreciate it.
For those of you looking to buy or sell a home, don't forget to find a real estate agent in your area with the heart of a teacher by going to stewardship.com and clicking on Find an ELP. And folks, just a reminder of what all of this is about. There is the world's way of handling money, and there's the Bible's way of handling money. And one is rooted in entitlement, and the other is rooted in contentment and gratitude. I'm Chris Brown, and you've been listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. God bless you.